Okay, page Lamed Gimel, all the way on top. Top word. Okay, the Gemara is explaining the Mishnah. The Mishnah was discussing what you're allowed to do to get a Shefer and what you're not allowed to do to get a Shefer. And it said, in Chet Chenesa, you're not allowed to cut a Shefer. This is a quote from the Mishnah. Whether it's something which is only rabbinically forbidden, whether it's something which is completely biblically not allowed. And the Gemara is going to explain which one's biblical, which one's rabbinic. So the Gemara explains, Mishum Shvus, which one is rabbinically forbidden? Migla, if you do it with a sickle. Meaning the Gemara is explaining.
It's Shabbos.
No, even Yom Tov.
Yeah,
Yom Tov and Shabbos, same thing. It means basically we're talking about over here, the way the Gemara learns now, is you're cleaning out the Shefer from all the junk inside it. You know, when you take a Shefer off the animal, it's full of junk. You have to take it and get it out. So you can do it with a sickle, and you can do it with a knife. Okay? So the Gemara says, if you do it with a sickle, it's only rabbinically forbidden. If you do it with a knife, then it's biblically forbidden. Why? It's a very simple thing. Thank you. It's a very simple thing. In order to be chayiv from the Torah for desecrating Shabbos and Yom Tov, it could only be when you do it the normal way of doing it. If you do something in the normal manner, then you're biblically forbidden. If you do it in the not normal manner of doing it, it's only rabbinically forbidden. So normally, in the olden times, they used to clean out a shefer with a knife, not with a sickle. A sickle was used in a field. They didn't use a sickle to clean out a shefer. So therefore, if it was done with a sickle, it's only rabbinically forbidden.
What is a sickle?
A sickle is a long, it's round like this. As if I mess it. So this used to cut tvua. Yeah, he used to cut grain with it. That's called a sickle. So normally they didn't clean out a shefer with a sickle. You don't use a sickle for a shefer. You use a knife to clean out a shefer. So therefore that would be biblically forbidden if you did it with a knife. If you did it with a sickle, it would be only rabbinically forbidden. So now the Gemara asks, Hashem Mishum Shvus Amar Taloi. It says in the Mishnah the following expression. You're not allowed to do it with something which is rabbinically forbidden and biblically forbidden. So the Gemara asks, if you can't do it with something which is rabbinically forbidden, does it have to tell me you can't do it with something which is biblically forbidden? If you say, if it's asif in the Rabbanan, you can't do it, for sure asif in the you can't do it. And yet the Mishnah says, something which is rabbinically forbidden, you're not allowed to do it, and even biblically forbidden. So the Gemara answers, Zuv ain't tzarech le'mezuk tani. And this the Gemara answers many times. What it means is that it's what's called le'zu avzu. Not, you can't even do it rabbinically. And biblically, for sure not. Meaning something which is rabbinically forbidden, you can't do it. And if it's biblically forbidden, for sure you can't do it. That's what the Gemara answers. Then the Gemara says, this is again a quote from the Mishnah. But if somebody on Yom Tov wants to put water or wine into the shefer to make it sound better, yitin, you're allowed to do it. That means if you want to clean out the shefer with water or wine, or used to soak it or whatever to make the voice better. So the Gemara says, mayim a yayin in. The Mishnah says water or wine. Made a glayim light, but urine not. In other words, as follows: in a practical way, urine is acidy, so the acid would make the shefer sound better, because it cleans it out, so to speak, better. But the fact that the Mishnah says that you can only put water or wine in it means urine you can't, which obviously implies that that's what they used to do. But Masnis and Mani, who does our Mishnah go like Abishol? The Tanya Abishol Eimer Abishol says Mayim Ayayin, water or wine, Motik Re Letzach Sechay, you're allowed to do it to make it clean. And, you know, to make it sound better. Made a glayim, but urine, asim, they are covered because it's disrespectful. In fact, even in davening we say, v'alomer a glayim yofen lo, elashem machnisim made a glayim b'migdash, they are covered. It's the same concept. It says, it would be, made a glayim would be very good for the ketaris, but we don't do it because it's not respectful. So the same thing, Abba Shol holds that even with a shefer, you can't do it because it's disrespectful.
You used to blow the shefer Shabbos?
Talking even Yom Tov.
Yom Tov and Shabbos. Same thing.
Same thing. Well, certain places we learned where there was a Bezdin, they blew. So the Gemara is in fact going to discuss this soon.
You cannot prepare the shofar for the big days.
No, we're talking on the day of Rosh Hashanah itself. Rosh Hashanah falls out Monday. Monday, can I clean out the shofar? So Gemara says to clean out the inside, you know, that whole thing, you're not allowed to. And by the way, this means an interesting thing. Even though you're not going to have a shofar because of it. I mean, if you think about it, the Gemara says, even if it's only rabbinically forbidden to clean out the shofar with a sickle, you still can't do it on Yom Tov. You're not going to have a shofar. And over here, the interesting thing is, biblically, you're allowed to do it with a sickle. Right? I mean, as far as the Torah is concerned, you could clean it out with a sickle. And if you don't clean out with a sickle, you're not going to have a biblical mitzvah of shofar. Yet when the Chachamim say no, it doesn't matter. Even if you're not going to be able to keep a biblical mitzvah because of it, Chachamim say, we don't care, you're not allowed to do it. And they have that ability to do it. They have the ability to say, don't keep a mitzvah. Then the Gemara says, Ein ma'akvin esatineikis min litkeya. And the Mishnah said a din, that you don't have to stop the kids from playing, from blowing. That means on Yom Tov, if a kid wants to take a shofar, in other words, as follows. Stam, like it said, to blow for no reason at all on Rosh Hashanah, you're not allowed to. But if kids want to blow, you're allowed to let them blow.
Tinoikis is a kid.
Yeah, tinoikis is small kids. Mm-hmm. Under Bar Bat Mitzvah. That means if a kid wants to blow shofar, he wants to play with the shofar, you let him. And the Gemara is going to explain why, because we want to teach him how to blow shofar. Even on Yom Tov. We'll soon see in the Gemara what age you could do it or not. You know what I mean? Can you help them? Can you not help them? We'll soon in the Gemara. But basically, the Gemara says you're allowed to allow kids. Let's put it this way. The exact text of the Mishnah is you don't stop them from blowing. By the way, which doesn't mean you don't give them a shofar. If they take the shofar, it says you don't stop them. It doesn't say you can give them a shofar to blow. There's a big difference we'll see in the Gemara. Yeah. So the Gemara says, Hanashim, but women, ma'akvin, you do stop. Because what did the Mishnah say? Kids, you don't stop. Which means women, if women just want to take a shofar to blow, you don't let them. But Tanya, and we learned, the Gemara says, in ma'akvin, le'yas hanashim, v'le'yas atinekis, m'latkeh, b'yamt. The Gemara asks a question, from our Mishnah it comes out that only kids, you don't stop. But if it's talking about a question of women, you have to stop them. Either Braisa says you don't stop women or kids. I mean, even if women want to blow shofar, you're allowed to. So the Gemara answers, "Amar Abaye leKashi, Hadab Yehuda, Hadab Yosef, Rab Shimon." You're right. It's an argument between two Braises, but it's not a problem because one is Rab Yehuda's opinion, and one is Rab Yosef, Rab Shimon's opinion. What does this mean? The Tanya, because we learned in the Braise, Daber al Bnei Yisrael. It speaks, it says in the Torah, speak to the Yidin. So it says, B'nai Yisrael Seimchin, the Yidin, the men, could do smicha. I'll explain in a second. V'ein B'nai Yisrael Seimchis, and the women are not allowed to do smicha, divrei Rabbi Yehuda. It says in the Torah, when you bring a carbon, it says, V'samach Asyadei. When a person brought a carbon, they had to actually lean with both hands on the carbon. That's what the Torah says. That the mamish with force, like lean on the animal. But the Gemara says, it says in the Chumash, Daber al Bnei Yisrael, which means only the men do it, not the women. So therefore, according to Rabbi Yehuda, women are not allowed to do it. Then he says, Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Shimon, Omar, Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Shimon say, Noshim Semchas Rishus, if they want to, they could do it. Okay? Meaning as follows, and this argument is one of the most famous arguments that exists in a lot of halachic issues because of this Gemara. Uh-huh. And if you see, there's a whole long thesis over here that discusses the halachic ramifications of this Gemara, and I'll explain to you cases that it has big ramifications. Everybody holds women don't have to do smicha. The question is, are they allowed to if they want to? No. Kiddush they have to. One second. So the Gemara says, this argument by Smicha. Rabbi Yehuda holds, it says the men have to, which means women are not allowed to. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon hold, if they want to, they could. They don't have to, but if they want to, they could. Now, the question is, according to Rabbi Yehuda, see, the whole thing, even in the Mefarshim over here, the Gemara, means as follows. The way Rashi learns in the Gemara here, that if women do it, they're adding to mitzvahs. That's what Rashi learns. Meaning as follows. When the Torah gives a mitzvah, we have to discuss this Gemara a little bit because it's a very important Gemara. When the Torah says women don't have to do a mitzvah, and they do it, are they adding to mitzvahs or not? Rabbi Yehuda, this is the way Rashi learns. According to Rashi, Rabbi Yehuda holds, they're adding to mitzvahs. So therefore, they're not allowed to. They're sinning if they do it. Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon hold, no, the Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to. The Torah says you don't have to. But if you want to, you're allowed to. Now, let's just get this Gemara straight before we discuss it. So therefore, the Gemara says as follows. According to Rabbi Yehuda, women are not allowed to blow shofar. Why? Shofar is a mitzvah bound in time. It's a mitzvah bound in time. So therefore we know that Torah excludes women from any mitzvah connected to time. It's called mitzvah saseh she'zman grama. Any mitzvah bound by time, women are not obligated to do. According to Rabbi Yehuda, it's not that they don't have to do it. They're not allowed to do it. Because according to Rashi, if they do a mitzvah that they don't have to do, they're adding onto mitzvahs. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon say, if they want to, they could. So therefore, the Gemara has the contradiction between our Mishnah and our Braisa. Our Mishnah says, you don't stop kids, which means women you do stop. That goes according to Rabbi Yehuda. Because Rabbi Yehuda holds women are not allowed to blow shofar. So therefore, our Mishnah says, if women want to blow shofar, you have to stop them, because they're sinning. The other braisa that says, if women want to blow shofar, they're allowed to. That means you don't stop them. That goes according to Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Shimon. What does Rabbi Yisrael and Rabbi Shimon say? Women don't have to, but if they want to, they could do it. That is our Gemara. Now this goes into a whole thing. Who is the halacha like? Oh, by the way, some Mefarshim argue on Rashi, like the Marsha asks in Rashi, and he says, it's not Baal Taisif. Baal Taisif is only if you're obligated in the mitzvah and you add to the mitzvah. Mm-hmm. But yeah. If you're not obligated in the mitzvah and you do it, it's not adding to a mitzvah. To give you a simple example. If somebody has a sukkah today, and somebody goes and eats in the sukkah today, they don't make a bracha, they're just going to the sukkah to eat. They're not adding to mitzvahs. They're not adding to mitzvahs. There is no mitzvah. So it's not a sukkah is not any different than in the street. It's not a problem of adding to mitzvahs. So the Masha asks in Rashi, and he therefore learns the Gemara differently. The Masha asks in Rashi, how could Rashi say that according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you don't have to do it and you do it, you're adding to mitzvahs? That's not the concept of adding to mitzvahs. Adding to mitzvahs is when you have a five-cornered garment and you put tzitzis on five corners, you're adding to the mitzvah. Because halacha is four corners and you're making five corners. No, he says you're not allowed to. He says that if you have a garment with five corners, you're only allowed to put tzitzis on four corners. Because if you put on the fifth corner, then you're adding to the mitzvah. Or according to, I'll give you another example, according to many opinions, if you put two mezuzahs on the same doorway. Korach's question was, do you b'chal need a mezuzah? Saying if somebody takes and puts two mezuzahs on one doorpost, according to many opinions, he's adding to the mitzvahs, because the Torah says one mezuzah per doorpost, and you're putting two. So now the question is, how does this relate to all other mitzvahs? For instance, can a woman bench lulav and esrog? And the question goes even more, a step further than our Gemara, can she make a bracha? There's two issues. There's one issue that says, if she wants, she could. That doesn't mean you can make a bracha. Because a bracha means that she could chanu b'mitzvayse v'tzivanu, that we're commanded. How could she make a bracha we're commanded if she's not commanded? So, there's a lot of issues going on in this Gemara. Can a woman do a mitzvah she's not obligated to do? So the way the Rashi learns the Gemara, the way Rashi learns the Gemara, she wouldn't be allowed to because she's adding to mitzvahs. It would be b'chal forbidden for her to do it. The halacha is not like Rashi, that's for sure. And the argument that comes out amongst the rest of the Rishonim is, and this is a big argument, like this big thesis over here. It's this. By the way, this is not only over here. This, the same argument is in Sukkah, and the same thesis in Sukkah and Rosh Hashanah, and about many, many, many mitzvahs. The question is, basically, the halacha is as follows. If a woman wants to do a mitzvah she's not obligated to do, she's allowed to. That is, the question is, can she make a bracha? Is she allowed to make a bracha? So, the Svardic opinions, starting all the way back, from the Rif, and the Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef, all paskin, that a woman who does a mitzvah is not allowed to make a bracha. That means, according to them, if a woman wants to bench lulav and esrog, she could do it, because she's not adding on to mitzvahs, but she's not allowed to make a bracha. No, the Rambam, the Rif, the Shulchan Aruch. Take Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Yosef itself, Shulchan Aruch says she's not allowed. Women. The Ashkenazic opinions, meaning Taisis, the Rosh, the Rajba, the Ramah, the way all the Ashkenazim paskin, that if a woman is not obligated, if she wants, she could do it, and she can even make a bracha. Why? Because she's doing it as a non-commanded who does it. It's still a mitzvah. Well, in Shulchan Aruch it says, let's leave tefillin out for a second. In Shulchan Aruch, Alter Rebbe brings on this argument, by the way, by lulav and by tzitzis. The original place in Shulchan Aruch is tzitzis, because that's the first place where this question is relevant. If a woman wants to wear tzitzis, can she and can she make a bracha? So if you look in Shulchan Aruch itself, the Beis Yosef holds she cannot make a bracha. The Rama holds if she wants to, she can make a bracha. The same argument goes to lulav, to sukkah, to shayfar. Okay. In tactical biblical halacha, women don't have to listen to Shefer. Later, Paskim write that Bizman Hazeh, Shefer is, you know, so awesome that women accepted it upon themselves to do it anyway. But there's a question, if a man blew already, can he blow for women? Because they're not obligated in the mitzvah. And the halacha is that you could, because number one, if they want to do the mitzvah, they could. And secondly, that they should feel good about Rosh Hashanah. Huh? With the bracha. The best thing is that they say the bracha if you're blowing for them. So now the question is, why is it, while we're on the topic, why is it that women taka don't wear tzitzis? We know women bench lulav, women eat in the sukkah, all the other mitzvahs they do that they don't have to do. Why are tzitzis don't they? So tzitzis, even though the Alter Rebbe doesn't bring this down to my recollection, but in tzitzis there's a different problem. There's two problems with tzitzis. One problem with tzitzis is, many authorities say, tzitzis is a man's garment. And if it's a man's garment, women are not allowed to wear it, because a woman can't wear men's garments. The fact that the mitzvah of tzitzis is given to men, and men are wearing it as a garment, so therefore a woman's not allowed to wear a man's garment. That's one. Another reason why it says women should not wear tzitzis is because the truth of the matter is, even men don't have to. If you analyze, if you take halacha as is, halacha says the following, and this is what the Torah says: if you have a four-cornered garment, you need to put tzitzis on it. Is there a mitzvah to get a four-cornered garment to put tzitzis on? No. You can wear a shirt and pants and socks and everything. None of them have four corners. And you know, there's no mitzvah in the Torah at all to wear tzitzis. Rabbinically, there's no mitzvah you have to wear tzitzis. Even rabbinically, there is no mitzvah you have to wear tzitzis. Because what is the mitzvah? If you have a four-cornered garment, then you need to have tzitzis. If I have a house, I need to have a mezuzah. If I want to live in the street, I don't have a mitzvah mezuzah. The mitzvah mezuzah is, if I have a house and a doorpost, I need to put a mezuzah. There's a mitzvah in the Torah, you have to do shechita. What is the mitzvah? If you want to eat meat, do shechita. If I don't want to eat meat, I have no mitzvah doing shechita. One of the mitzvahs in the Torah is the mitzvah of divorce. It's one of the 613 mitzvahs. That doesn't mean a man has a mitzvah to divorce his wife. What is the mitzvah? If you're splitting, to permit it, to remarry, you need a get. But there's no mitzvah in the Torah you must give a get. Right? There's certain mitzvahs, if a certain situation comes up. Tefillin is not a mitzvah. If you have tefillin, you have to wear them. Tefillin is a mitzvah, you have to wear tefillin every day. There's certain mitzvahs you have to do, and there's certain mitzvahs which are contingent on something else. If you want to eat meat, you have to shechit. If you have a house, you need to have, you know what I mean? All these types of mitzvahs. So even tzitzis is not a biblical mitzvah. It's not even a rabbinic mitzvah. Nevertheless, Shulchan Aruch says, and the Gemara quotes the Gemara, that it's proper and good, and this is the way it should be, that a person should wear tzitzis. Why? Number one, you get a constant mitzvah. Secondly, tzitzis, it reminds us of all mitzvahs of Hashem. So therefore, Halacha says, it's proper and good, and you should wear tzitzis. Now, but there's no mitzvah to wear tzitzis. Yeah. So Halacha says, a mitzvah that even men don't have to do, if a woman does it, it's like a show-off. A mitzvah a man has to do, like Moshe Lulav, and a woman wants to do it, fine. But a mitzvah that even a man doesn't have to do. So if a woman does it, it's a show-off. The same thing... So now, the same thing goes with tefillin. Why are women, in fact, in halacha, practical halacha today, if a woman asks a shah, can I wear tefillin? The answer is no. She's not allowed. Why?
It's not a garment.
No, it's not true. Number one, you wear tefillin. Even in English, the expression is, you wear tefillin. Levishas tefillin. According to halacha, if somebody wears tefillin, it's not called carrying. It's called wearing. It's not called carrying. You're wearing it. You wear a talis in the street, right? It's not called carrying because you're wearing it. It's a garment. Tefillin are considered a garment in many aspects in halacha. But there's two problems again with tefillin. Number one, many poskim write tefillin because it's a man's mitzvah. It's a man's garment. So if women wear it, they're wearing men's garment, which is also biblically forbidden. And then there's the second issue. The second issue is, as we see, the same thing applies to kids. We know, and we're going to learn later in the Gemara, probably going to get there today, in the chinuch of children, you educate kids to do all the mitzvahs, right? They wear tzitzis, and they wear yarmulke, and they do this, and they do all the mitzvahs. Yet, tefillin, you don't take a 10-year-old kid and put tefillin on him. Why don't 10-year-old kids wear tefillin for educational purposes? The answer is, tefillin are so holy, and you have to behave accordingly in tefillin. You have to control your thoughts, and you have to control your physical, bodily things, like passing gas and all that. So the halacha is, if you don't got to do it, you're not allowed to do it. Because it's very hard to behave properly in tefillin. So mela, man has no choice, so to speak. The Torah says you have to wear tefillin. But that's why in the olden times, many, many people wore tefillin the whole day. Today, you're not allowed to. If somebody asks, should I wear tefillin the whole day? He's taught 100% not. Because we're not as great as they were. And tefillin, when you don't have to wear it, you don't wear it. So therefore, if women, but that same thing with kids. A month, 2 months before the bar mitzvah, they have to learn how to do it, so you put on tefillin then. But under that age, they're not allowed to wear tefillin. If a 10-year-old kid says, I want to put on tefillin, you know, you're not allowed to let him. He could do tzitzis and lulav and all the other mitzvahs. Why not tefillin? Tefillin is so holy, if you don't have to do it, you're not allowed to do it. So that's why women are not allowed to wear tefillin. No, because anytime a man has to do a mitzvah, it's not shofar. Tzitzis, like we said, men don't have to do it. Halacha says you should. But tzitzis, it says you don't have to. So if women do it, it's mamash shofar. But this whole argument that we're discussing now is dependent on this gemara of Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yosi and Rabbi Shimon. According to Rabbi Yehuda, women, the way Rashi learns, are not allowed to do mitzvahs that they don't have to do. Because they're adding to mitzvahs. Most of the Shanim disagree with Rashi, and they say it's not a sin. If they want to, they could, but they can't make a bracha.
But these days, the women took on themselves to do mitzvahs.
Yeah, but it's only mitzvahs that you're allowed to do it.
Yes.
And Tesis brings a bunch of proofs from the Gemaras, from various Gemaras, that you're allowed to make a bracha. Abi Tesis also brings on the famous Gemara that certain women did put on tefillin.
Yeah.
Like Michal Bashol. Shaul Melech's daughter Michal put on tefillin. But like you tell the women, when they do all the other mitzvahs they have to do, and then we'll talk about it. Yeah, there were women that wore tzitzis, but those were exceptional cases. The women today that want to put on tefillin are women that don't keep all the mitzvahs they have to keep. Because if they would keep all the mitzvahs they'd have to keep, trust me, they're not interested in putting on tefillin. It's not that they want to put on tefillin. It's that they don't want to be told they can't do something that they want. You know, what do you mean we can't? That's what they. That's not the issue with tefillin, because they're interested in tefillin because Hashem said so. Keep all the other mitzvahs God said to do that they're not interested in keeping. It's basically because they're told you can't. What do you mean I can't? What do you mean we're not equal to the men? That's the mentality. It's nothing to do with the
woman. There is a needle.
That's not a problem.
Clean. Why?
It's not a problem because that's not the definition of not a goof. A man whose tummy can also put on tefillin.
No. Yes.
A man whose tummy can also put on tefillin. It's not the Indian of that. No, that's learning Torah. Torah itself is a mitzvah, but still. Okay, then the Gemara continues. Amr Abelazar. But there's a lot of interesting things about this whole thing about how could they make a bracha. And it means collectively we're obligated to do a bracha and so on. Okay, then the Gemara says, I just turned the page because I have a different Gemara. Ava misaskim b'emat sheyomadu. 6 lines in the bottom. Ava misaskim b'emat sheyomadu, you can work with them with the shefer, with the kids, until they learn the skill. Amen, Rabbi Lazar, so the Gemara says, Rabbi Lazar says, afilu b'shabbos. Even in Shabbos, when you're not allowed to blow shefer, kids can blow shefer. So Gemara says, Tanya namiyochi, so we learned in the b'raisim, misaskim b'hem. You're allowed to engage the children in blowing until they learn how to blow. Okay? Then the Brisa continues and says, you don't have to stop kids from blowing shofar on Shabbos. That means, when Rosh Hashanah falls out on a weekday, well, we blow shofar, for sure kids can blow shofar. The chiddush is that even Shabbos, when we don't blow shofar, we're not allowed to blow shofar. If the kids want to blow shofar, you don't stop. So the Gemara asks, so good for Kashi, you're contradicting yourself. You just say, Misaskim b'matchi yomodafilu b'shabbos, The Gemara is going to ask from one half of the Braisa contradicts the second half. One half of the Braisa says you can engage them in blowing, which means they're allowed to lechatchila blow. Then it says you don't stop them. If you don't stop them, means you don't give it to them. But if they're doing it, you don't stop them. Hey, did you write this book?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, good. No, the Gemara answers your question. It depends what age. Is it pre-chinuch or post-chinuch? One second. The Gemara says, "Gufa kashi, you're contradicting yourself. Amarit, you just got through saying, Misaskim ben machi yumad afilu b'Shabbos, that you're allowed to give it to them even on Shabbos. Alma lechatchila amrin tikkul, that even to initially you can tell the kids, go blow. Go blow the shayfer. And then the Braisa says, you don't stop them. Which means, you don't stop them. But initially you don't tell them to blow. So, like, one half of the Braisa says you can tell them to blow, and the other Braisa says you don't tell them to blow. So Gemara says, Lekashi, it's not a question. Kan bekotin shegiya lechinuch, kan bekotin shegiya lechinuch. It depends which age. Meaning, when a child reaches the age of chinuch, we want to get the kid involved in the blowing. Meaning as follows. A baby under 6 or 7, or the Gemara says, I'm Paschim already at 10 or 11 for Shefer. The age of chinuch depends when the kid understands what the mitzvah is all about. So you, sometimes it's usually 6 or 7, and by certain mitzvahs, it's harder to understand, it takes 10 years. But let's say a 10-year-old kid. So that's what I'm saying. If there's a 5-year-old kid, you don't give him a Shefer to blow. Because what for? He's not in the educational age. No, you'd be surprised. You better... little kids blow better than... I'll explain that story in a second. And then, it says as follows. When the Braisa says you don't stop them, meaning you don't give it to them, that refers to a 5-year-old kid. If a kid grabs a shayfa and blows, you let him blow. But to give it to him, no. What for? There's no purpose of giving it to him. But if it's a 10-year-old kid, so then the Braisa says you even give it to him. Why? Because we want him to learn how to blow shayfa. Because when do you learn how to blow shayfa? Usually when you're a kid. There's a famous story with Alter Rebbe and the Magid. The Mizritchi Magid was looking for somebody to blow shayfa for him on Rosh Hashanah. So Alter Rebbe volunteered, and he said, I'll do it on the condition you teach me, so he said to the Mizritchi Magid, that you teach me all the Kabbalistic meanings of shayfa. So the Magid says it's a deal. So the Magid taught the Alter Rebbe all the Kabbalistic meanings of Shefer. And when it was all done, the Alter Rebbe said, I'm sorry, I don't know how to blow.
He tricked him.
So he asked, how is he allowed to trick the Magid? He brought a proof from Chumash that you could trick in such a thing. The Alter Rebbe said, you find the same thing in Chumash. What happened? When Meshe Rabbeinu met Hashem at the burning bush, yeah? What did Meshe Rabbeinu say to Hashem? Okay, so what should I tell the Jews? He said, Ek Asher, Ek. He told them all the Kabbalistic things. Then Meshe Rabbeinu said, I'm sorry, I don't know how to talk. So you see, that for such things, you're allowed to trick. So the Rebbe explained once, why Taka didn't the Alter Rebbe know how to blow? The Rebbe said an interesting explanation. Why Taka didn't the Alter Rebbe know how to blow? So it says, because, the Rebbe explained, because when do you learn how to blow shayfer? When you're a kid. You should know. As adults, you don't learn how to blow shayfer. When you're a kid, the kids like to play shayfer, so they learn how to blow from that. He said, Alter Rebbe was never a kid. Alter Rebbe was always mature. So Alter Rebbe never played like kids blowing a shayfer. So he just never learned how to blow. But meanwhile, he got from the Magid all the definitions. Certain things, see, normal things have to go through normal routines and channels. Things that are very holy, things that are very extremely holy, they can't come through the normal channels. They gotta come through the illegal channels. But within Torah, obviously. Okay, let's finish up to the Mishnah. Then it says, "V'misasik liyotze." It says, if somebody blows shayfer absentmindedly, That means he doesn't have the kavana for the mitzvah. He just blows absentmindedly. Lo yotza. You're not yotza shayfer. So the Gemara says, oh, tekel ashir. But it says, only if you blow it absentmindedly, you're not yotza. But if you blow it for singing, for a song, and that's what happens if you blow shayfer. Not, you didn't have kavana for the mitzvah. You blew shayfer, you wanted to blow a song, and it ended up to be a tekiah shvam through a tekiah. You're yotza. Because what does the Mishnah say? Only misasek liyotza, absentmindedly. Okay, so Gemara says, Lema Messiah later of this lechera should be approved to Rava. The Amr Rava says that the Kehel Ishir, if somebody blows a shayfer for a song, and it ends up to be the right voices, Yotze Yoyetze. So the Gemara asks, no, maybe it's not approved to Rava. Dilma to the Kehel Ishir Nami Misasik Karla. The Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe Misasik doesn't only mean absent-mindedly. Maybe Misasik means if you don't blow for the mitzvah. But even if you blew for a song, if you didn't have kavanah for the mitzvah, maybe you're not yetzah. Then the Gemara says another thing. It said also in the Mishnah, Hashemeh min ha-misasik l'yotza, not only the blower is not yetzah, but if somebody's just blowing for the fun of it, and you hear it from him, you're also not yetzah. Right? So the Gemara says, asks a question. Aval Hashemeh min ha-mishmi'a la'atzmeh, but if somebody hears from a person who is blowing for himself properly, my yotza, your yotza. Lema tavit yuv to the Rav Zeira, it would be a question on Rav Zeira. Da'amalei Rav Zeira l'shma'amei, Rav Zeira said to his servant, Ichaven utkali, have kavana and blow for me. Meaning, the Gemara's question is like this. The Mishnah seems to imply, if I hear it from somebody who blows absent-mindedly, I'm not yotza. But if a guy is blowing for a mitzvah, and he doesn't know I exist, and I hear it from him, I am yotza. So the Gemara asks, it's not true, because Rav Zeira told his servant, intend to blow for me, and then I'll be yotza. Which means, if he didn't intend, even though he was blowing for himself, you're not yotza, because mitzvahs need kavana. So it's a question on this thing. So the Gemara says, no. You're right. It could be, and this Gemara is not according to Halacha, but it could be that if the Mishnah says misasek, it doesn't only mean misasek absent-mindedly. It doesn't only mean you're blowing for a song. It also means if you don't have kavana, you're not yetzer. Which means the way the Gemara is concluding over here is, if I blow shayfer for myself, and I don't think you're around, or you're walking outside, or you're next door, and you hear my shayfer, you're not going to be yetzer. Just according to this Gemara, I'm talking about Halacha now. According to this Gemara, you're not yetzer. Even though I had kavanah to blow, but it was only for me, not for you. In a shul, a marshal, Shulchan Aruch says, the guy that blows has everybody in mind. So therefore, even people walking outside, who happen to hear it, are also yetzer. Because he has kavanah, whoever hears it is yetzer. But in a situation when a guy is blowing completely and solely for himself, and you happen to hear it, you might not get it. And the Gemara says, that is the concept of misasik. That is the concept of misasik, you're talking not yetzer.